Good morning. We're just saying that our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. The other night, my wife and I, Trippy and I, watched The Amazing Grace. I love that movie if you get a chance, but it has little snippets of John Newton in there. And John Newton's famous saying, which I know is where they have got the lyrics to that song, is he says, "I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior." Well, I never dreamed that we would be in Paul's goodbye in Romans on the last Sunday of this year, but in God's providence, here we are. I thought, well, should I try to find a sermon, a text that would work? And the more I got into the Romans that we were slated for, I probably couldn't have picked a better passage for today. And it's so amazing to me how God works in His power to connect the dots for us. You know, us. I don't know, not the smartest guy in the world. Me, to bring a passage like this on this day of the year. So this morning's message is entitled, "Grace Community Church, You Are Ready for Gospel Ministry in 2019 and Beyond." Typically, this is the Sunday preacher. Most preachers preach the tithing sermon, you know. Let's kick off the new year with a lot of money, whatever. Well, today we're not going to do that. We're going to kick off the new year with a lot of witnessing, with a lot of gospel, with a lot of Jesus. And that's what this text is about. We're going to begin looking at Romans 15, beginning in verse 14. The truth taught, in Paul's estimation, the Christians in Rome were ready. They were ready for the gospel ministry, and so are we. It was so odd, and I praise God and thanked Him for this as I worked through this passage, that as I read about Paul's estimation of the church in Rome that he was writing to, I kept thinking about our church, and it's by God's grace, beloved, we too are ready. We're ready for gospel ministry in the year to come. So we're going to learn, just briefly by way of introduction, what the gospel is, what God's purpose is in having us share the gospel. We're going to learn the power of the gospel, and we're going to see our motivation for gospel ministry, and then we'll jump into the text. So here we go. The gospel. What is the gospel? Well, if we were to find probably one passage in the Bible that explains the gospel, and it's just brief, you know, by gospel, I'm going to interchange the word gospel and the word and the phrase good news. It's the message that Jesus Christ saves sinners. Now, if you look in the New Testament, you're going to see there's four books at the very beginning called what? The Gospels. And so technically, the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to save sinners like us, it's the whole gospel. It's the whole book. It's the whole Bible. It's kind of hard to narrow it down. But here's an attempt. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Paul, just in a very brief few sentences, explains what the gospel or the good news is all about. He says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received." And here it is. "That Christ, Jesus Christ, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So the point is that Jesus' death had a purpose. He died, Paul says, for purpose, our sins. that after he died, he was buried, and that he was raised again to life in accordance with the scriptures. He says it that way because his death that happens in the New Testament was mentioned time and time again in the Old Testament. His resurrection that happened in the New Testament is mentioned time and time again in the Old Testament. So his death on the cross and his resurrection were both in accordance with the scriptures. Isn't that amazing? He just didn't die. He wasn't a victim. He wasn't just caught in a political scheme. He died for a purpose. And the purpose was to pay for our sins. So that's the gospel. That he died in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So what's God's purpose? Why did God do all this? Why did he send Jesus? And why did Jesus come? What's the purpose of the good news? What's the purpose of the gospel? Well, we're going to learn today that it's not exactly what we might think at the beginning. You see, we have a very humanistic idea of the gospel. We want to see people saved so that they don't spend eternity in hell. I mean, let's just be honest. We have loved ones, we have friends, people in our community. We want to see saved so they don't suffer in hell. But that's not why God sent Jesus to planet Earth. That's not what the gospel is about. That's not the purpose of sharing the good news. The purpose in sharing the good news is God is about something, and he's about gathering a people, and this people, it really we could maybe say, I don't know if this is exhaustive, but at least made up of two types of folks. There are those from other nations, other social settings. There are those of other nations, specifically we're going to read in Revelation, who've never heard the gospel. They've never heard it, or they've never heard it accurately. I think we're going to include both of those because that catches a lot of us. So there are those who've never heard the gospel from other nations, from other peoples. Then there's generational gospel ministry. Each generation needs to hear the gospel because they've never heard it. Every new generation must hear the gospel for the first time, the good news, right? So we have nations who've never heard. We have generations that have never heard. Christianity is not just for certain people. It's not just for certain people. It's for the world. In fact, God promises us that our gospel ministry that reaches out to the world will have fruit. He promises that. So when you share the good news, when you engage in gospel ministry, when you share the good news with others, you can be confident that some of those people will hear and they will understand. Let me read, just listen if you will, to Revelation chapter 7. This is at the end of time. God shows us what will happen, what things will be like. And he says, John speaking, John given this heavenly vision, he says this, after this I looked and behold, I love it when John says, and behold. It's like, I looked and wow, what an amazing sight. A great multitude that no one could number. Who made up this great multitude? He says, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, Jesus Christ, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's guaranteed to happen. Now, I want to say, as your pastor, that it is a blessing to lead you all, to be your shepherd. It's a great blessing to be your pastor. And as I worked through this passage, I kept thinking about you all. And in a way that was just kind of odd. God, I think God was wanting me to get something. He was wanting me to say, you know, Grace Community Church, we're not perfect. And this year, you know, we're going to have things we're going to have to deal with. Things will pop up. You'll do stupid things and we'll have to... No, I'm just kidding. I will too, you know. But beloved, we're ready. That's the point. That's the point that as I read the text, Paul is saying to the church of Rome, he's writing to, you're ready. You're ready for gospel ministry. You're ready to do it. And beloved, you're ready. And we're going to see that today. We're all capable to share the gospel. We're capable to instruct others. We're capable to bring other cultures and other generations into the fold. We're capable of this gospel ministry that God desires us to be engaged in. Why the gospel? Why the good news? Because the good news has power with it. We read at the very beginning of our study of Romans, Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," Paul says, that message. "For it," the message, the good news, the gospel, "is the power of God for salvation." Notice what he says, "to everyone who believes." No exceptions. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or probably like everyone in this room, Gentile. It doesn't matter. The gospel is the power for all people, all peoples from all nations who believe. First to the Jew and also to the Greek. That's what the gospel does. We saw the power. We saw what it is. And now I want to see, beloved, what our motivation should be. What is your motivation when you share the good news? Again, we can come at it from a humanistic standpoint. We want to relieve future suffering for someone. But that's not the biblical purpose of the gospel. That's not the biblical purpose of sharing the good news. It gets much greater, much God-honoring than that. We pray for lost friends and family. We pray for them in hopes that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. But it's much more than where we end up in the end. Much more than that. The purpose for sharing the gospel, the purpose for us engaging in gospel ministry, is because the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is worthy to be worshiped. And in the process of us sharing the gospel, God is gathering a people for His Son, a people of worshipers, because Jesus Christ is worthy to be worshiped. It's about Him being having a people called by His name to worship Him in spirit and in truth for all eternity. It's not just to get us out of hell. And beloved, that's where we, I think, miss the mark. If I can have a biblical perspective on gospel ministry, that Jesus Christ is worthy to be worshiped, it changes everything. It's a true biblical motivation for sharing the good news. It's about Jesus. It's not humanistic. It's not to get someone out of hell. Revelation 5:12. Listen as I read. There's a great scene, another great scene that John witnesses in heaven. And he begins in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, And here's what they praised God for, and here's their song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Two centuries ago, about, there were some famous missionaries. They were the Moravians. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, the Moravian missions. And in the course of this movement of missionaries, there's the account of two young men. These missionaries were true missionaries, beloved. I want to say that because, you know, today, everything has, if, in order to be a missionary, to one sent out to share the gospel to others, you have to have, yeah, first of all, most of them won't go to hard places. And most of them won't go unless they're fully funded. And I think there's something wrong with that picture. God doesn't depend on our money. Listen, if we waited till we were fully funded here, this church would not exist. If we wait till we're fully funded to share the gospel, then it's just a job. It's not a ministry. It's not a message. It's not your heart's desire to share the good news. It's not something God's called you to do. It's just another way to make a living. And I'm not saying missionaries across the board are that way, but I'm saying is that if God's called you to do something, you do it. Don't worry about anything else. Just do it. Well, the Moravians, these guys were amazing. And here's the mindset of these crazy, crazy missionaries for Jesus. One account has two young men boarding a ship. God had called them to the deepest, darkest corners of Africa, a place, a little island off the coast that had nothing on it but slaves. And in order to go to that island, they couldn't just go. They had to sell themselves into slavery. Now, this island was made up of criminals, people who were sent there for crime, sent there because they couldn't pay debts. For whatever reason, they were slaves. And in order to share the gospel, because these two young missionaries believed that Jesus Christ was worthy to be worshipped by criminals, they went. Never to return, knowing they would never return. This is missions, beloved. They boarded the ship, and the account is as the ship sort of was smaller and smaller and smaller on the horizon, their family and others who had come that day to greet them, to say goodbye to them, could hear one say, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering." And that was the cry for the Moravians and their missions. That was sort of their motto. It stuck, and that they used that. And may the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering. But what would be his reward? Worshippers. That was their call. That was their cry. That was their purpose. And God had called them to that ministry, and nothing would stop them. The very gates of hell would not prevail against them. Because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to have worshipers. And beloved, he's gathering a worshiping community. A community that someday, when we're around that Revelation 7 vision, when we're around the throne of Christ praising God, we're going to look across and we're going to see people from all the nations, people that all the different languages, all different colors. But one thing we're going to have in common, or many things, one of them is we're going to be dressed in white robes, and we're going to be praising Jesus Christ. That's the call. That's why we share the gospel. It's because Jesus Christ is worthy to be worshiped. Well, that brings us to our passage, so let's pray this morning. Father, I pray you would open this text of Romans 14 to us. God, show us, while we're not perfect, while we've not arrived, while we don't know everything there is to know, but we are equipped. We're ready. Give us confidence and boldness to be missionaries wherever we are. Confidence that you are gathering a people. Confidence that the gospel message has power. That your purpose is to not just save someone from hell, but to save them from their sin. So that your son would receive the reward of his suffering. Let's look at Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 14 this morning. Paul writes, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and all the way to Lycrium, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." Let's look at the first point this morning. Grace Community Church, you are ready. You're ready. This is meant to be an encouraging message this morning. You're ready. You're ready to do it. You're ready to go to those places where you thought you would never go. You're ready to step out in faith and to speak the gospel to folks you may not even know yet. Paul says some things about this church. He says, and he knows, beloved, this church that the book of Romans, the church in Rome, they had some issues. But he wants to remind them of a few things. He says, first, you yourselves are, verse 14, are full of goodness. Grace Community Church, you are full of goodness today. Now, we're good because we've been shaped by grace. We're good as we follow Christ and are showing our love for others. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, you are good, not of ourselves, but because of who we belong to. We belong to Christ, and we are seeking to follow him. We know how to love others. We know how to treat others. And beloved, we know how to love others who are like us, those who are not like us. Paul has already addressed that in this book. For example, in Romans 12, beginning in verse 9, if you remember, he says this. He says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." And beloved, as we do that, we are good. "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." I want to just commend you all today. I'm not going to give you the big head, you know. Don't think that way. But listen, you guys are good, right? You're good in Christ. You're good in the sense Paul is calling his church in Rome good, because we've been shaped by grace. We know how to love others. We know how to be like Christ. You guys do a wonderful job in this area, and you're ready for gospel ministry. You're ready. Next, Paul says, Grace Community Church, you're filled with all knowledge. And you might be like, I don't think that's true. You're filled with all knowledge. What's he saying there? Well, you don't know everything. Neither do I. We're not, you know, exhaustive concordances or anything like that. We don't have the answer to every question. But that's not what he means. He means you're learning. Your knowledge is increasing in Christ all the time. That's the way this is meant to be read. You're learning. You're growing as a Christian. You're full of goodness. And beloved, you're full of knowledge. The knowledge needed to share the good news. Grace Community Church, you are ready. Next, he says that you're able to instruct one another. And beloved, I see this often here. You guys are very good at instructing one another in truth. You're good at equipping, instructing one another. You're good at seeing needs and meeting them. You're good at sharing truth. You're good at sharing your love with others. All this was true of the Church of Rome, and while not perfect, but I believe it's true of you as well. Now, Paul's perception of the church in Rome had changed. And I want to key on something here, because this is big. Paul was so confident in God's word that in earlier places in the letter in his epistle to the Romans, he got on the Gentiles, didn't he? He said, you guys are messing with the gospel. Stop it. And he would share why that was so wrong. He did all that early in chapter in Romans. And he got on the Jews. He said, you guys think you're so superior to the Gentiles because you have more knowledge. Stop it. And he went through discourse after discourse of things they were doing wrong so that they would be fixed. And at the end of the day, Paul's confident that as this Roman church read God's word, they would be changed. That's his confidence in the word of God. So he could speak this way now because while they're not perfect, he knew that once they read this text, once they read God's word, they would be different. They would be obedient. That's what happens when we read the word. That's what happens when we engage with the word of God. We are changed, beloved. Paul's confident. He hadn't even met these people yet. And he knew. He knew that if they interacted with God's word, they would be different. That's confidence, isn't it? So he changes his tone by the end because they're different now. He's speaking differently about them. He uses the word, it's translated to instruct, is that good old Greek word for counseling we get, right? Noutheteo, nouthetic counseling. That's where it comes from. It's the idea of instructing, admonishing one another. And Paul says, you can do it. You're equipped for that. You're equipped to come alongside of one another and instruct them in righteousness. You're ready. You're equipped. You can do it. You're ready for spiritual and moral counseling. You're ready to do the work of ministry. Grace Community Church, you're ready. Secondly, I want us to see Paul's heart. I want us to see Paul's heart because this is the same heart, the same thrust, the same purpose that Paul wants us to have. Look with me at verse 16. It says, to be a minister of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. What is he talking about? Priestly service. What's he talking about? Paul, in a in a symbolic sense, Paul, in a symbolic sense, was a priest. And what was his offering to God? A multitude of Gentiles. That's what he's talking about. He's like, as I minister in Christ Jesus' name to the Gentiles, I'm going to have an offering of Gentiles to present to God. This offering of Gentiles will be acceptable, it says in verse 16. Will be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. This will be an offering that God will gladly accept. An offering, a multitude of Gentiles. When you share the good news and someone's converted, as it were, you're presenting that person as a priest. You're the priest. You're presenting them to God. And God accepts them in Christ. They're acceptable. They're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says in 16. He goes on to say that I'm proud of my work. Paul's not saying I'm just working so hard and I'm so smart, yada, yada. He's not saying that. He's saying I'm proud of my work in Christ. God's doing it. God's doing an amazing, amazing work. We're priests. As we share the good news, we're presenting people, as it were, to God. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. So we have Jesus Christ as our high priest, right? He's the high priest. And we're the lesser priests. All Christians, in a very real sense, are priests. But 1 Peter 2:5 says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What makes our sacrifices acceptable? They go to God through Jesus Christ. So Paul, in figurative terms, calls himself a priest. He's offering believing Gentiles to God as a sacrifice. They were acceptable. They were sanctified by the Spirit. This was Paul's supreme offering to God. Paul was a priest. Paul also was a preacher. Look further, verse 17. It says, in Christ Jesus, then I have reason to be proud of my work, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. Paul was a preacher. He preached the whole counsel of God, didn't he? He preached the whole counsel of God. Everything Paul did, he did through grace and through the power of God. And that's why he was proud of his work. That's why he would write things like Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, Jesus, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's Paul's goal. Not just converts, but to present all those folks mature in Christ. That's why he did what he did. It says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Next, Paul wants us to know that we are witnesses. We're priests. We're preachers, as it were. And to steal one of John MacArthur's P's, we're pioneers. We're missionaries. And that's what Paul says as he closes this text. Verse 20, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. Listen, beloved, we don't have to go to the darkest of Africa to preach Christ where he has not been named. Go next door. Go down the street. Across town. There are people in America that have never heard the gospel and they've never heard it accurately. Churches probably would be a good place to start. Have you ever thought that in churches in America, there are multitudes who've never heard the gospel? It's true. It's a little bit like what Paul did, right? Where did he went to the synagogues to preach Christ. Don't think you have to travel across the planet to preach the good news, to teach someone the gospel, to explain, to be a witness, to explain the gospel to someone else. Go next door. Paul says, as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Grace Community Church, you're not perfect. You don't know everything there is to know, but you're ready. I pray this year, 2019, right? 2019. Will be a year of gospel ministry like never before. You're ready. There are those around you, family, friends, people you work with, people you go to school with, who've never heard the truth of the gospel. God has a purpose. God's building a community of worshipers for his Son. And in his goodness, he's allowed us to play a small part in that. Be bold this year for Christ. Take all the excuses that we're so good at using. Get rid of them. They don't work anymore. Those excuses, I don't know enough. I don't know my Bible enough. That's not true. I don't have the time. That's not true. What would they think of me? What would they do? How would I? Listen, forget all that. Trust God. He has a purpose. It's an eternal purpose. It's way more important than any earthly thing. Trust him with all your heart. Step out in faith. Let's do that together this year. Because the Lamb is worthy. He's worthy to have a people who worship him. He's worthy because of who he is and what he's done. He's worthy. Let's pray. Father, we come to you encouraged, challenged, excited, and slightly intimidated. I pray that the things we've said in the past, all those reasons, good reasons perhaps, that we've used to not do what you've told us to do, God, we would repent. Give us boldness. Give us a purpose. I pray that this year we would share the good news with others because your Son is worthy to be worshiped. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to save us from our sin. He came to rescue us. He's the only one who could. God, we thank you for that. That he was Emmanuel, God with us. He came not to judge the world, not to condemn the world, because it was already condemned. He came to save. You've said that we must go and preach the good news. We must go and tell. You've given us the Great Commission. You've promised us that as we go and share the good news, you'll be with us. You've told us that that all authority on in heaven and on earth has been given to you, Jesus. And based on that authority, you tell us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And I will be with you wherever you go. Give us boldness. Give us purpose. And God, give us anticipation for what you will do. Great and amazing things are waiting for us in 2019. Because we're a people of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.